thank you for listening to an audio resource from Stanwich Church, located in Greenwich and Stamford, Connecticut. The vision of Stanwich Church is to know Christ and make him known.
The New Testament lesson for today is from Acts chapter 11, verses 1 through 18. This can be found on page 1093 of your pew Bible. Peter returns to Jerusalem and is criticized for visiting the household of a Gentile and baptizing the family in the name of Jesus Christ. He proceeds to explain a vision he received from God in which God made it clear that all people are acceptable in his sight. A reading from Acts chapter 11, beginning with the first verse. Now, the apostles and the brothers, who were throughout Judea, heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcision party criticized him, saying, "You went to uncircumcised men and ate with them." But Peter began to explain it to them in order. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, something like a great sheet descending, being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to me. Looking at it closely, I observed animals and beasts of prey and reptiles and birds of the air, and I heard a voice say to me, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' But I said, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But the voice answered a second time from heaven, 'What God has made clean, do not call common.' This happened three times, and all was drawn up again into heaven. And behold, at that very moment, three men arrived at the house in which we were, sent to me from Caesarea. And the Spirit told me to go with them, making no distinction. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. And he told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house saying, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will declare to you a message by which you will be saved, you and all your household.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them, just as on us in the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, 'John baptized with water, but you will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave the same gift to them as he gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way?" When they had heard these things, they fell silent, and they glorified God, saying, "Then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance that leads to life." May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
In the fall of 2011, Nancy and I and the children had just moved here from New York City. I had just received the call to be an associate pastor here at the church. And we were living in the small parsonage next to the smaller chapel that Greg just mentioned a minute ago. Our children were 1.5 years old and 3.5 years old. Some of you have heard the story I'm about to tell, but it's worth repeating in light of today's scripture. I was working here at the office one late afternoon in what is now Pastor David's office down the hall. And Nancy called me and she said, "I need you to come home." So I came home and she reported that she was cooking dinner in the kitchen and the children were playing at the stairs. And she heard a tumble and a fall and she heard crying. So she came around from the kitchen and she scooped up the kids and Riley, who was 3.5 years old. He reported the following after he stopped crying. He said, "Mommy, I could see you in the kitchen making dinner." And Nancy said, "Oh?" And he said, "Yes, and I could also see under the house, under the church, I could see the earth. And there was a crack in the earth. And there was a river flowing through the crack from under the church all the way out to the sea. And it was raining," he said. And Nancy said, "Buddy, you could see all that while you were falling?" And he said, "Yeah." And I remembered after the first service telling that story that back then he couldn't say his R's. So that whole story was reported, that the Rivo, you know. He was 3.5 years old. So I came home and I heard this whole thing too, and I was amazed. I had not very often encountered dreams and visions from the denomination I grew up in. And then it got even more amazing. The next morning I was back at work in my office, and unannounced, this woman in the congregation who has since moved away, I turned around in my chair and she was standing at the window of the door with her eyes like this. She opened the door and she said, "I think I'm supposed to come talk to you." So I said, come on in. And she sat down and she said, you know, yesterday afternoon, I was driving by your house and I saw this vision. And she reported the very same vision that my 3.5-year-old had reported. A crack in the earth and a river flowing from the earth going all the way out to the sea. And I told that story to a few people when it happened, and somebody said to me, oh, that sounds a lot like Ezekiel 47. And showing what a great Bible scholar I was at the time, I didn't know what was in Ezekiel 47. So I opened it up, and the prophet Ezekiel reports this amazing vision of being in the temple. And in the vision, he saw under the temple a crack in the earth and a river flowing from the temple that got wider and deeper as it went, all the way to the sea. And on the sides of the river were trees and life and flying things and swimming things. And everywhere the river went, there was life. And the same vision gets repeated again in the book of Revelation. In my ministry, I've learned when I have stories that happen like this, I file them all in my mind. I file them all under the category, you can't make this stuff up. Prophetic dreams, visions. Are they real? Is it God speaking? What is God telling us if it is God speaking? How can we confirm that it's God's voice? And then how can we interpret what he has said? These all may have been questions on the minds of the early believers in the early church. We're going to see a vision that God gave Peter in our scripture today. And we're going to see the people of God confirming it and then interpreting it. I have to be honest, I grew up in a denomination where we didn't talk about this sort of thing. If it was happening, people weren't reporting it. So our son was having dreams and visions even before we got to Stanwich, but when we got here, I was hearing more and more. So if this is new to you, if you grew up in a church like I did, where if you wanted to hear what God said, you would just check it in his word. You would hear the wisdom of godly people, or occasionally you'd hear the still small voice of the Holy Spirit. Or most often you would check the BCO, the Book of Church Order, the bylaws, to know what God had to say. That's a bit of a joke there, but. So if the dreams and visions thing is new to you, I just have to say, welcome to Stanwich. This sort of thing happens here. But I do want us to think it through. We're going through this sermon series where we're going through the book of Acts, this early church movement. And I'm kind of kidding when I say welcome to Stanwich, but I have to be honest. What I love about being a part of this church is it feels to me like there's a direct line between the Christians in the book of Acts and us. It's like this continuation of the same movement. We're going through this series that we've entitled The Power and the Wisdom of God. And we've seen his power unveiled in stories like the healing of people and the rapid expansion of his church. And we've also been exploring his wisdom, his truth, his word that gets conveyed. Last week, Pastor David preached on this, and he reminded us that God sometimes exposes our assumptions by his wisdom. He exposes our assumptions to build our faith and to grow his kingdom. God exposes our assumptions to build our faith and to grow his kingdom. And that's exactly what happens, as we're going to see in our scripture today, how God exposes assumptions to build faith and expand his kingdom through the deliverance of a dream, a prophetic dream, a vision that he gave Peter. Well, first, let's be reminded of what those assumptions were in the early church. There was a lot of division. There was a lot of us versus them. I know that's not happening in our culture, but it was happening in theirs. And this is an assumption that God had to expose. Let's hear about it starting in verse 1 of Acts chapter 11. Now, the apostles and the brothers who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. This is breaking news. Up until this point, for thousands of years, the word of God, the Torah, had been given to God's chosen people, the Jews. Rumor is spreading that his word is being revealed to the Gentiles. Verse 2. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcision party criticized him. I have to pause right there. The circumcision party. What a fun group of guys that must have been, huh? Card-carrying member of the circumcision party. I'm filtering so much good material right now. more than just circumcision, these guys were interested. The circumcision was a symbol of basically all of God's law, all of the ways that God had instructed his people to, yes, I'm going to use this phrase, to be cut off from the rest of the world. Circumcision symbolized that. And one of the other ways that they knew that they were cut off from the way that the rest of the world worked was in the foods that they ate. More specifically, in the foods they did not eat. God had given very clear instruction in the Torah of a whole list of foods that you would know you're a Jewish person if you did not eat them. You were obedient to God's law. You were obedient to God's word if you didn't eat that list of foods. And there was a debate happening in the early church because these Gentiles were hearing the gospel, these Gentiles who ate any kind of food they wanted. And then they learned about Christ and they wanted to enter into the church. And some of the Jewish converts to Christ said, no way. In order to enter into this church, you have to follow all of these food commands. You have to be circumcised and you have to follow all the 613 laws of Torah. So this was the debate. This was the assumption that God was about to expose in order to increase faith and grow his kingdom. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, verse 2 again, the circumcision party criticized him, saying, you went to uncircumcised men and ate with them. You see, this eating with them was a scandal. Why? Because it means that Peter not only was hanging out with the uncircumcised, he was eating their food. And if you try to get inside their minds a little bit, I was teasing the circumcision party a minute ago, but if you get inside their minds, give them the benefit of the doubt. They were just trying to be obedient to God's word. God said, don't eat that food. What are you doing, Peter? You of all people are going against what God said. So they were concerned about this, and it's kind of a worthwhile concern if you think about it. So how is Peter going to respond to this? What's going to be the response of the early church? It's true what God had written in Torah, but is it possible that God was saying something new as he would end up including all the people who would repent and call upon his name? How is Peter going to explain this? Well, verse 4. But Peter began and explained it to them in order. I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance, I saw a vision. What was in the vision, Peter? Something like a great sheet descending, being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to me. Looking at it closely, I observed animals and beasts of prey and reptiles and birds of the air. In other words, all of the things on the forbidden list in Torah. Things don't eat, don't even touch them. And Peter sees this vision of this sheet coming down where all these animals are being presented before him. Verse 7, and I heard a voice. It wasn't just an image, see, he was now hearing something in the vision. I heard a voice saying to me, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Now, this would have been just radical for the early church to hear this. Eat? What? Lord, we've been living our whole lives not eating that. Maybe this isn't a vision from the Lord. I wonder if this was going on in their minds. They would begin, as we're going to see in the next few verses, to test this vision, to inquire, is this really from the Lord, or is this just what Peter wants? Is he manipulating things? And so they have these ways of testing and interpreting what this might be saying. So Peter responds, you know, Peter begins testing the vision while the vision is happening. He begins kind of talking back to what he's seeing from God. Verse 8, but I said, by no means, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has ever entered my mouth. You see, Peter's kind of questioning what he's seeing, which is totally appropriate to do. Verse 9, but the voice answered a second time from heaven. What God has made clean, do not call common. This happened three times, and all was drawn up again into heaven. I love the fact that God gave Peter this vision three times. It reminds me immediately of when Jesus was on the beach with Peter. After Peter had denied him three times, Jesus restores the relationship with Peter three times. I can really relate to Peter. You know, so often God has to tell me something, and then he has to tell it to me again, and then he has to tell it to me again before it really sinks in. God gives Peter this vision three times. There's people who, like Peter and myself, who are a little dense. We need to get hit over the head three times by God's truth. So, you know, in hindsight, 2,000 years later, we can easily look at this vision and say, well, yeah, obviously. Pastor David made the case last week that if this vision hadn't happened and if they hadn't responded to it as if it was a word of God, then we're not here today. Because this vision and how they responded to it ended up expanding who was allowed to be in the church. And it included Gentiles. That's us. So this was a world-changing thing. In hindsight, we can look at that. Well, obviously, God gave the sheep and the animals, and they interpreted it. But at the time, this really did need to be tested. They had to ask themselves, is this really from God, or is this something Peter made up? And so they begin to look at the circumstances and look at the other ways that God would confirm this. And in the next several verses, we begin to see how the people of God look for confirmation that this really was from God, beginning in verse 11. And behold, at that very moment, three men arrived at the house in which we were, sent to me from Caesarea. Isn't that interesting? The circumstances sometimes are aligned with what God is doing. Like that woman who appeared at my door the next morning after my son Riley had the vision, and she reported the same thing. Kind of similar in this verse. These three guys showed up right after this vision had happened. Verse 12, and the Spirit told me to go with them, making no distinction. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. And he told us how he had seen the angel stand in his house and say, send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will declare to you a message by which you will be saved, you and all your household. As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them, just as on us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, in those brief verses that I just read, I want to just kind of organize for you the ways that the people were seeking confirmation that this was the voice of God. Notice with me the various voices and confirmations that came as they interpreted this, as they interpreted what had happened. Verse 9, it says, a voice from heaven said, what God has made clean, do not call common. Voice from heaven. This appears in another couple of other places in the Gospels, and it refers to God the Father. Remember at the moment of Jesus' baptism, a voice boomed from heaven. People thought it was thunder, and it was God the Father saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. So they're listening to what Peter had experienced, and they said, there was a voice from heaven. God the Father spoke. And then God the Spirit speaks in verse 12. God the Spirit says, go with these men, make no distinction. In verse 12, it tells us who told Peter that? The Spirit. And then they're sitting around interpreting, thinking about what had happened in this vision. They remembered something that the Lord had said. They remembered something that Jesus said in verse 16. John baptized with water, but I will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. See what happened here? They're figuring out this word from God. Is this really a word from God? It's going to have to be clear if it's going to be different than what it says in Torah. And they realize that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, and God the Son are all confirming. They're all in alignment with the vision that Peter had received. When God speaks, he's consistent. When God speaks, he's consistent with his word. He's consistent with circumstances that happen. He's consistent with the wisdom of godly people in our lives. And he'll be consistent with that still small voice of the Holy Spirit. This is important for us whenever we receive a vision or a dream, something prophetic. By the way, as a pastor, I get a lot of these reports. Sometimes it's like one a week. I get an email from somebody. They're in a small group, or they woke up one morning with a prophetic dream, and they describe their dreams in full detail to me. And this is the process that I go through. I say, okay, here's a prophetic dream. Is it in alignment with these other ways that God is speaking? And honestly, sometimes it's not. Sometimes I hear a dream and I think, maybe that person had pizza before they went to bed. I don't know. Something was happening in the imagination. Or maybe sometimes it's someone's own personal agenda. Or they're kind of up in their own head and they want to convey something as if it has the authority of a prophetic dream. And sometimes, and as you guys receive these reports too, test it, just like the early church did. By the way, there's one more voice, not just the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There's one more voice in this story. It's the voice of the angel in verse 13 when he says, bring Peter. It's going to be very important that Peter is the one who experiences this vision because he's going to be instrumental in expanding the kingdom of God. Well, I made the case earlier that being a part of this church, Stanwich Church, is like being a part of that same movement of God's people in the first century. I've been continually surprised at how many prophetic dreams and visions are reported and confirmed and also interpreted. By the way, I'm going to show you a vision that was recently reported in this church, but I have to give you the interpretation. It's very important. Not only do you confirm it's from God, but you have to interpret it. And here's their interpretation of this vision that Peter got. Verse 17. They say, okay, it's from God. What does it mean? Verse 17. If then God gave the same gift to them as he gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way? Yes, this really is God speaking. Verse 18 then, when they heard these things, they fell silent. They glorified God, saying, then to the Gentiles also, God has granted repentance that leads to life. See, that's the interpretation of this vision. We confirm it's from God. Now we can interpret it. This repentance that leads to life. You know, that vision that my son had with the river flowing. The Ezekiel chapter gives us the additional details that wherever the river flows, there's life. There's trees on either side of the river, and there's birds, and there's fish. And I believe that the interpretation I have of that is that when this church receives the gift of the Holy Spirit and then expands it into new territories, there is life. There is life abundant, and there is life eternal because of the proclamation of the gospel and the gift of the fruit of the Holy Spirit that he's gracious to give us. See, that's how I interpret that now that I know it's confirmed. Same thing with Peter's vision. All right, one more vision that recently happened in the life of this church. I file this, too, under you can't make this stuff up. Carl Higbee, some of you already know this, but Carl Higbee is I call him an elder statesman of the church. He received a vision from God in 2014 that only recently we have been able to confirm and interpret. I'm going to show you a 4-minute video of Carl himself telling the story of his dream. And you'll see in the video, he already begins to interpret and confirm it, just like Peter was doing live in the vision. But I want to give this to the body as well. I want to give this to the church. Listen to what Carl reports. Look for confirmation and interpretation as well. Talk about it in your Bible studies. Talk about it at the lunch table today. And ask, as I have been, what is God doing? What is God saying?
I'm Carl Higbee. I've been going to Stanwich now for 25 years, and I still haven't graduated yet.
And expanding
it's a study that goes on for an awful long time. If you ask an average Christian audience in the pews, do you believe in prophecy? You get sometimes a mixed response, which is a little bit disappointing because there is a passage in Ephesians which says God gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. Now, we're all very accustomed to seeing the pastors and the teachers in action, but we're not quite so accustomed to seeing the other three, which is disappointing. But I want to encourage you to think in terms of the prophetic at this point. And for that purpose, I'll offer a story. Back in 2013, I had a dream. And it was a dream that took place in a building in Stamford. And I had just bought some furniture. It was a furniture store, of all things. And it was a whole household full of furniture. And the salespeople took the furniture and put it all in one place in the furniture store. And after it was all together and the bill was paid, I went over to gather my furniture. And there sitting in a sofa right in front of me was what appeared to be a homeless man. And the saleswoman who helped me out saw this and moved to admonish the homeless man to leave so that I could get my furniture. Well, I at that point interjected and said, no, don't make him leave. That is Jesus. And then I turned around. Right behind me was my wife, Maria. And she said, here are your elements. I took the elements and then faced Jesus, and Jesus and I had communion together. Now, there are two interesting things to me about this story. One is that that furniture store is exactly the same store that we have bought for the purpose of creating the new church in Stamford. Some of you may have shopped there. It's the Safavea Furniture Store. And that's where this scene took place. Now, when I had this dream back in 2013, we had only just begun to think about a Stamford location. But Central Stamford was not even being thought of. At that point, it was going to be South Stamford. So because it didn't seem to have any relevance at the time, I totally forgot about the story. And it was only much later that I was looking through my journals for something else entirely, and I came across this dream that I had recorded. And by the way, I encourage everybody to have a journal just for reasons like this. But there are two things that interest me about this. One, of course, is the location, which is what we have chosen to plant the Stamford Church. And we pray often for the building, but we should also remember to pray for the people that will be in that building. And that is, to me, the significance that is even greater, because the end of the dream was communion with Jesus, which is a very much one-on-one experience. And it's hoped that everyone will have such a one-on-one experience in that new Stamford location. I'm reminded of the story of Jesus after his resurrection, walking on the road to Emmaus with two individuals who didn't even recognize him until they got to their communion with Jesus. And I think the passage says they knew him in the breaking of the bread. So may hundreds and hundreds of people come to know Jesus by the breaking of the bread in this new location to be developed in Stamford.
To learn more about the mission and vision of Stanwich Church and how you can get involved, please visit stanwichchurch.org.